This is a pledge special edition of the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. You're probably sick of hearing about the election, right? Enough with all this tawdry talk and accusations and innuendo. We still have more than 3 weeks of polling data and margins of errors and political ads to endure. Through it all, American voters have been consistent, saying the economy is their big issue. Now, here in South Florida, that means a number of things: jobs, pay, housing, costs, trade. So for this special pledge edition, we focus on the economy, not politics. But the economy may be reflecting some of this election tension. The Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, which includes South Florida in its territory, quizzed 200 companies throughout the region, and one out of three of them said yes, the election was having an effect on their business decisions, on things like investing in their companies or hiring new workers.
It's not so meaningful that basically they're shuttering the doors and just waiting it out, but it certainly is on their minds.
That's Karen Gilmore. She's the regional executive for the Miami branch of the Federal Reserve. She watches over the economies here in South Florida. The Fed's main responsibilities are to help create the economic conditions for as many people as possible to work, keep the general level of prices throughout the economy steady, and to watch over banks. It's the first two that feed directly into what the central bank does with interest rates. Now, the Federal Reserve does not control interest rates that you pay on your mortgage or your car loan or credit card, but the rates the Fed sets certainly influences those interest rates that we pay when we borrow money and when companies borrow money. For years now, borrowed money has been cheap, really, really cheap. Sure, there have been complaints that it's tough to get loans, but banks don't want to lend a lot of money. But if you have good credit or a company has good credit, money has been really cheap. Low interest rates. The Federal Reserve has kept its target interest rate really low for years since the Great Recession. Last December, for the first time in 7 years, the Fed raised its rate up from zero. Since then, nothing. But as the Fed considers what to do next about interest rates, in the month ahead and in December, the president of the Atlanta Federal Reserve thinks the time may have come to raise rates again.
This is not an economy that's terribly strong, but it's an economy that's operating at a kind of okay level. And I think that is sufficient to justify a slight increase in the policy rate.
That's about as definitive as you're going to get from a head of a regional Federal Reserve bank. That's Dennis Lockhart. He heads the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. His region includes Florida. He's careful to note his assessment rests on the stability of the economy. And even then, he's not talking about a big jump in interest rates, just 0.25%.
In September, President Lockhart, you said you would encourage, quote, serious discussion of a policy rate increase. Over the last 8 years or so, the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates exactly once. It was December of last year, and it was by 0.25%. 9 days after you made those comments, the Federal Reserve did not change the target interest rate. Its next meeting comes less than a week before Election Day. Should the Federal Reserve seriously consider raising interest rates in November?
Well, first, let me say we did have a serious discussion, so I got what I was asking for, and there maybe was a little subtlety in that statement, and that I was not advocating a rate increase. I was just asking that we have a serious discussion. We have a meeting coming up in November, November 1st and 2nd, and then a meeting in mid-December. The way I look at your question is, if the economy remains on track, remains on the path that it appears to be on, then in one of the coming meetings, I think it's in all likelihood going to be appropriate to raise interest rates or raise the policy rate by a quarter.
We also have by 0.25%.
0.25%.
Yeah.
November, December, two upcoming meetings. I'm not going to call which one. I think we'll have a little bit more information in December. We will have a couple more labor reports that give us some sense of the jobs momentum. But the important point is that this is all premised on the data indicating that our basic sense of the economy remains intact, and that the economy is moving along at a moderate pace and continuing to add jobs.
Your Miami director of the Miami branch of the Federal Reserve, Karen Gilmore, is along with me. Karen, with the executives you work with and the businesses you talk to anecdotally mm-hmm. and statistically, What are they telling you about the cost of cash and cost of interest rates?
Oh, no, it's exceptionally low. And,
sure, but is it difficult low for the banks? Is it unreasonably low for those companies who are making money in the cash markets versus those who need to be borrowing?
Yes. Yeah, so for most of the companies, let's exclude the banks, this has been a very good environment for them. Cost of capital is cheap. Cost of borrowing is cheap. So they've been able to do that and invest accordingly. A lot of them took their floating rate debt and converted it to fixed debt. So this has been a very good environment in that respect. Now, if you talk about the bankers, they're very eager to have a rate increase because it has put a lot of margin pressure on them.
That's Karen Gilmore, head of the Miami branch of the Federal Reserve, along with the regional Fed leader, Dennis Lockhart. Still to come, the potential impact of higher rates on an industry reliant on borrowing, and a big one here in South Florida. Real estate.
In many ways, it could cause for a correction that's, you know, really needed.
This is a special pledge edition of the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. One of the pillars of South Florida's economy rests on cheap money, and it's had plenty of it in recent years since the end of the Great Recession. Historically low interest rates have made borrowing money cheap, as long as you qualify for it. This includes home and condominium buyers, certainly, but also builders. Interest rates are not likely to shoot up anytime soon, but as the head of the Atlanta Federal Reserve, Dennis Lockhart, told us, if the American economy continues growing like it has,
then in one of the coming meetings, I think it's in all likelihood going to be appropriate to raise interest rates or raise the policy rate by a quarter.
That means the interest rate for the Federal Reserve would be 0.5%. The Central Bank's Committee Deciding Interest Rates meets early next month in November and then again in December. We spoke with Lockhart and the regional director of the Miami branch of the Fed about what an interest rate hike could mean for real estate and construction here in South Florida, as well as our reliance on tourist spending.
We have seen a slowdown, especially in the multifamily market, or the for sale product of the multifamily.
Right, which is a fancy way to say apartments and condominiums.
Yeah, condominiums, yeah. Because apartments are still very strong, probably too strong.
In the rental market.
Yeah, yeah, and so in many ways, it could cause for a correction that's, you know, really needed. Also, you know, when I talk to a lot of private equity people, bankers, you know, the valuations are a little concerning.
And meaning so, the prices may be too high.
Exactly. And so that an increase in interest rates could, you know, move to temper maybe some kind of, you know, location-oriented asset bubble, mm-hmm. you know, in their minds anyway.
And what about the impact on the construction job growth that we've seen? Back to tight labor markets, we've heard from a number of construction firms, especially on the skilled labor side, very tight, rising wages in this regard. We've seen significant job gains in the construction industry. If those borrowing costs begin to go up for the financiers, is there a potential for a ripple effect?
Well, that's a good question. It'll depend on the overall economics of the project itself. So potentially, I guess, if it could slow down certain product types, yes. But right now, I think it's more of a labor issue, a quantity of labor than necessarily also a cost of labor issue.
Talking about construction and real estate, the other big tentpole for Florida is hospitality and tourism, consumer spending there. We've seen household debt improve considerably since the last 7 or 8 years, but that ever so slightly increase in interest rates again. I don't want to make too much of this, but just curious as to what some of the assessment could be on consumer spending as it relates to what economists will call discretionary spending, vacation, the Bostonian, the New Yorker, the Chicagoan coming to South Florida as we're about to enter into the traditional tourist season.
Yeah, I don't hear that from, excuse me, Dennis, but I don't hear that from the industry. They haven't expressed that as a concern.
President Lockhart?
I was just going to say, if you try to read the mind of the consumer, which I may not be expert in, but my sense is that when someone's trying to make a decision about a vacation, the level of interest rates is not high on the list of considerations.
You mean that never came up for a Lockhart family vacation, just to look at the yield curve before deciding whether or not to go to Disney?
You know, go to page 18 of the Wall Street Journal and decide whether to go on vacation or not. The kinds of things that weigh on people's decisions to take a vacation relate to confidence in employment, confidence in personal financial security, just a general feeling of economic well-being, and therefore we can afford as a family to go take a vacation. And what tends to actually swing most as the economy moves up and down in the U.S. is the spend on vacation. That is, theme park, for example, theme park operators will tell us that the amount of spending that occurs once a family is in the park is really a variable in their revenues depending upon the economic outlook. But interest rates themselves, I don't think, factor greatly into this question.
So Dennis Lockhart, head of the regional Federal Reserve Bank, says a slightly higher interest rate won't impact tourism much here. His Miami director, Karen Gilmore, thinks higher borrowing costs could cool some corners of the real estate industry. Still to come, economic anxieties, Zika, and their effects on South Florida tourism.
The Zika virus has had some effect on bookings, but that overall, tourism is holding up for South Florida quite nicely, in spite of the election going on.
This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. It's the jobs of Dennis Lockhart and Karen Gilmore to have their fingers on the pulse of the local and regional economies. They both work for the Federal Reserve. That's the institution that aims to use interest rates and the supply of money to help guide the national economy. Lockhart is the head of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. His region includes South Florida. And that's where Karen Gilmore comes in. She's the regional executive for the Miami branch of the central bank, watching over South Florida. Now, a lot of voters nationwide say the most important issue for them this election is the economy, but you won't hear much concern about a cornerstone of the South Florida economy from these two Federal Reserve officials.
The tourism numbers here in South Florida have been very strong. It certainly doesn't seem to be permeating the psyche of the tourists coming to South Florida. Fort Lauderdale's had a very, very strong season. A lot of hotel development to support all this increased activity also.
Karen and I sat in about a week and a half ago in an advisory council meeting of our Travel and Tourism Advisory Council. I think, Karen, there were like seven people attending. Four of the seven were from Florida. So we got quite a bit of information on Florida, including South Florida. My takeaway from that meeting was that the Zika virus, has had some effect on bookings, particularly bookings of large groups, but that overall, as Karen said a moment ago, tourism is holding up for South Florida quite nicely, in spite of the election going on, in spite of even some measured economic anxiety on the part of the broad public in the United States.
The other thing about that, too, is there's been a little bit of a mix change, so a little less on the international side and a good growth on the domestic side.
Karen Gilmore with the Miami branch of the Federal Reserve says hotel bookings on South Beach were up 7 out of 8 weeks since Zika was found, and the average prices of the hotel rooms are the highest the industry has seen. A lot of the tourism industry rests on low-paying jobs, of course. It's both the opportunity and the threat to South Florida's prosperity. Last year, American households saw a strong hike in their incomes, and the median household incomes in Florida, and specifically South Florida, grew faster than the nation's. Pay raises and higher pay have come back to the Sunshine State.
when I talk to employers, they are giving annual increases. They are coming up with incentive programs. They are feeling pressure, you know, in certain job classes to pay more. So it's all having a ripple effect.
President Lockhart, how about from a bigger perspective, from your view of the entire Southeast region? Are these trends sustainable?
Well, first, let me say Florida overall, and I looked at the numbers relatively recently, is doing better than the national numbers in terms of unemployment rates or employment growth, and also in terms of income growth. So the Florida economy overall is in a pretty healthy state, and better, at least somewhat better than the national economy overall. And as the labor market tightens, we should be seeing rising wages and rising household income.
That's the good news about the state of working in South Florida, but how we compare remains troubling. The Miami metro area is 24th on the list of the nation's 25 biggest cities for income. Orlando and Atlanta have higher income levels. So still to come, what role does the central bank play when addressing pay gaps here in South Florida?
Inequality in America, and inequality for that matter in Miami and South Florida, is a concern.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy, a special pledge edition. I'm Tom Hudson. We're talking about the South Florida economy with two people whose jobs are to keep tabs on it. Dennis Lockhart, head of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, and the central bank's leader here in South Florida, Karen Gilmore. Household incomes nationwide and in South Florida have been rising. That's good news. But the Miami metro area has the largest income gap in the nation. That makes us number one in America for income inequality.
Karen, talk to us about that disparity. What is continuing to feed that disparity?
A lot of it is driven by the service sector, low-paying jobs. Also, it's a very unusual community. So you have this incredible wealth, and then you have just the average worker. And so I think that it gets distorted quite a bit.
And that distortion gets played out in the income disparity.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it makes Miami, for example, one of the most expensive cities for housing in the country for the average worker.
Bloomberg looked at all this data that we're talking about and looked at it in terms of cities and found that Florida is the only state in the union where two cities are top 10 cities with the biggest income equality. It was Miami and Tampa. And Karen, Miami was number one,
yeah,
with the largest income disparity of any major metropolitan area in the United States.
Yeah, and I know from the Atlanta Bank's perspective, you know, we have a community economic development group that I work with in Atlanta. And so we are looking at income disparities. We're looking at, workforce development issue, housing affordability, all of which, you know, affect populations in especially Miami-Dade, but in South Florida.
President Lockhart, this may strike you as an existential question, but is income disparity inherently a bad thing for a community to have?
I think it's a matter of degree. Extreme income disparity, let us say, that resembles developing countries or some South American countries over time certainly cannot be good for social cohesion and a country actually pulling together to try to increase and improve its overall welfare. So I think there are extremes of income disparity that are quite unhealthy, and they're unhealthy economically, of course, but they're also unhealthy in the political realm. And inequality in America, and inequality for that matter in Miami and South Florida, is a concern. It is not something that can be addressed easily using monetary policy. You know, monetary policy is a blunt instrument. We try to set the interest rate level generally, and then the market takes care of the rest. And in terms of income, the market distributes income. And it's not something that the Fed can directly address. We can more directly address sort of the general demand conditions in the economy and the general state of the economy, and then hope that other policies can address inequality.
Is the kind of disparity that the data is picking up in Miami, which has been growing, is it sustainable? At what point does it become unsustainable? What are the signs of that?
Well, I know community leaders here are focused on it. They're really focused on housing affordability. So right there, I think that that's a good evidence that it's an issue that community leaders are engaged in addressing. I know from working with companies that to attract individuals to come to work here, housing affordability is an issue, among some others, but is a primary issue. So it's in their best interest to, you know, address these kinds of disparities.
There's an expression that I've picked up on recently that I think is a good way of thinking about it, and that is the essential economy worker. The essential economy is in every municipality, in every locality. There are people who work in the service economy particularly who are essential to keeping things operating. So think in terms of the hospitality industry, having chambermaids and people who make up the rooms every day or who clean the hotel. And these people are essential to keeping an economy operating, particularly at a local level. And when they cannot afford to live in the location that we're talking about, then you're going to have some breakdown in how that economy operates. So keeping a balance in housing and a balance in income is really, I think, important for a city or a region like South Florida to operate at its optimum level.
Dennis Lockhart with the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, along with the boss in Miami, Karen Gilmore. Wanda Miles is our technical director. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week.